about standing up in your world. You can record from now on. Standing up in your world. The story of Daniel in chapter 6 teaches us that we can no longer sit around in our world while we have a God who is able to deliver us from the fangs and the claws of the hungry lions. Say amen to that. Amen. See, we can no longer sit in our world. And you'll be thinking, what is our world? Is it United Kingdom? Is it what, Western Europe or Western economies? Or you mean the earth or the universe? Your world is your reality right now. Hallelujah. Your world is your reality right now. Your reality may be that you are ever so happy to be here. Or you have been so happy and blessed in the course of the week. Your reality is that probably somehow something has not worked out for you. Your reality is that even as you're sitting right here, you've been thinking, what do I eat tomorrow? Your reality may be that, oh God, you know what? I am so stressed. I am so depressed. I am so troubled. I don't know where to go from here. Your reality is that you are looking for your business to give you a big payoff. Your reality is that you're looking for a new job. Maybe you want some healing. Maybe you want to see the hand of God come powerfully on your behalf. That is your world. Hallelujah. So, the message again is that we can no longer sit around in our world while we have a God who is able to deliver us from the fangs and the claws of hungry lions. God is looking for people who will stand up like Daniel did. Say amen. Amen. God is looking for people that whatever your reality is, God is looking for a man or a woman who will say, I will stand up and I will not let my reality overcome me. I will not let my reality overwhelm me. I will not let my reality bare their teeth like hungry lions or hungry snakes ready to inject poison into my life and kill me off. My reality is that I have a God who is able to deliver me from the hands and the jaws of lions. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter wherever you are, whatever your situation, whatever your reality is, we have a God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, Daniel lived in a pagan world. And when he lived in that world, it is just like your world right now. The culture that in which he was very busy. Babylon was the center of civilization and the world at the time. So we have to think about a very big bustling city, which we are lucky to be in one of them, which is London. Think about New York. Think about whatever city that is, busy for you. Bombay, Cape Town, wherever. Lagos, another very busy town. Anyone from Lagos, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now, let me not call the nations and get into trouble. Hey, but I just want you to say, because it's a place that I've been to. It's a very, very busy place. But Daniel's culture was a very busy time. And he was the prime minister of the land. Every wisdom was there. There were some people who were especially wise. They were magicians. They were scientists. They were mathematicians. They were people who were involved in literature. There were wealthy people. There were poor people too. There were exiles there too. And yet he was the prime minister. So think about the man that we are talking about today, Daniel. He lived in a pagan culture of a busy lifestyle coupled with tremendous pressure, like you or me will see. And yet he tried to survive. So look at somebody and said, I will try to survive. I will try to survive in this busy cultural life. We have no choice than to try to survive. You see, those who don't survive are those who give up so easily. Those who don't survive are those who allow the culture to overwhelm them and they can do nothing about it. But we have a God, hallelujah. We have a God who can help us to be able to do something about the busy and the cultural pressures that we get into. Yet Daniel survived. He did not bow a knee to a false god, not even for a 30-day period. Here was the time that, the king was supposed to be God for 30 days. And everybody was supposed to worship him. Have you ever felt like you have been thrown into the lion's den, seeking to devour you? Have you ever felt that way before? I have. Sometimes you feel that you are in the middle of the lion's den, and the lions want to devour you. And sometimes that is our world. Sometimes that is our reality. But God wants us to stand up. Daniel was a man of persistent prayer and formidable faith, who in the face of sudden death placed his hands or placed his life in the hands of God. Daniel was a stand-up guy. So today we will repeat a message again, standing up in your world. I just borrowed the preaching outline from Dr. David Jeremiah. So, if I'm putting those subtopics, it's not originally me, but I have to give him the credit for that. But the word of God cannot be held bound. So, we say this, stand-up people get promoted. Stand-up people get promoted. So, if you stand up in your culture of pressure, in your culture of tremendous depression, in your culture of all people pushing you left and right and everything overwhelm you, if you stand up, you get promoted. Because the Bible says promotion comes from God. Hallelujah. Now, shall we read Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 3? I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says that it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satrap, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Hallelujah. It pleased Darius to set up 120 people as ministers of state in that massive, amazing kingdom called Babylon. At that time, it has been invaded by the Medes. And the Medes, their king was Darius. But let's hear the story as it goes. That Daniel had an excellent spirit. Daniel was a man of excellent spirit. He was hardworking, honest, had good attitude to work and people. You can trust him with a task and he will execute it with excellence, so that the king will suffer no loss. So Daniel was one of three secretaries of state in the land. So if you take Darius as the big man, maybe the queen, then there were some prime ministers. And we had three. Not Owen Smith, not Jeremy Corbyn, not, what was the Tory one? Theresa May. What are you laughing at? What we're trying to say is that look at a nation, complicated, sophisticated, large and powerful at the time. The kingdom of Babylon has come to almost its end, and a new nation has invaded it, and a new king called Darius was in it. And at that time, I would like to take you to Daniel chapter 5 for us to read something about Daniel. Because Daniel, not only was he a man of excellent spirit, he was a man in whom the spirit of the Holy Ghost dwells. Amen. Daniel, in whom the spirit of the Holy God dwells. From verse 9 of chapter 5 to verse 12, he said, then King Belshazzar, he was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, he inherited his father, was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lord, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in the kingdom, or in your kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father Nebuchadnezzar, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. The king Nebuchadnezzar, your father, is what I'm talking about. He made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, soothsayers, inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpretation of dreams, solving riddles, explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give interpretation. Amen. Probably haven't read that chapter. It is a chapter that when Belteshazzar inherited his father Nebuchadnezzar, and the first thing that he did was that he went to the temple of his gods, where they've kept all the treasury of his god, where they've kept all the golden vessels, all the wonderful things, the silver and the bronze, which they took from Jerusalem into Babylon. These were the things that they used to worship God with. And then he decided to take these things, and he threw up an amazing party. And then the Bible said that he drank from it. And when he drank from it, with his friends and his concubines and his visitors, what did he do? He gave glory to the God of gold, the God of silver, the God of bronze, the God of wood, and God of clay. Why am I bringing this to you to compare it with Daniel? See, how many times has our God taken us out and given us a job and given us some money or given us a house, given us a home, and given us some privileges? And instead of using that to worship God, we worship the God of silver. We worship the God of gold. We worship the God of bronze. We worship the God of clay. We worship the God of wood. Are we hearing this? I find it extremely strange that the people of God will not give God the glory, but they will give glory to what? The money God has given to them, the job God has given to them, the position God has given to them, the house God has given to them, the car God has given to them, the children God has given to them. My brothers and sisters, when this man did that, a writing came on the wall and said, today your number is up. That is when his face went so red. He went so pale. The Bible says he went so pale. And he started screaming for everyone who has wisdom, interpretation, understanding to come and interpret that. When they came and no one could interpret that, he went berserk and started screaming, is there anybody in this kingdom who can discern this writing and tell me? And the queen heard it and said, you know what? Don't be troubled no more. You seem to be so troubled, but there is a man in whom the spirit of the living God or the Holy Ghost dwells. Hallelujah. Amen. The question is, can anyone say that of you? Mention your name, and he said, X, Y, Z, in whom the spirit of the Holy God dwells. Hallelujah. You see, for someone to say that about you, they know, they see, it is evident. That is your reality, and therefore they see that. And for that reason, they will come to you. We learn from Daniel's experience is that God was with him. And God actually blessed him. He served Nebuchadnezzar, the powerful king. If you read chapter 2 of Daniel, his kingdom is the kingdom of gold. In his kingdom, there was so much gold that there's never been a kingdom that has that much gold, that the statue held of gold. And then we learned that his son, as I said, Belshazzar, inherited him. So that is the second king that Daniel was serving under. And then a third king Who is Darius? And if you look at that statue in chapter 2, they said what? It has what? The chest of what? Of silver. Yes? And it's got two arms. And we are talking about Mede and Persian, Medo-Persian Empire. And their kings, Darius and Cyrus, Daniel served them. Are you following? This man, because we are not talking about anointing, you know, because Christians try to spiritualize things and make it feel that, oh, this is a special thing. The Spirit of the Holy God dwells in him. And therefore people saw it. And the Spirit of the Holy God dwells in you too. But are people seeing it? That's the question. That is the challenge. That is something that you and me alone can answer for ourselves. He served four mighty kings. And each one found that in whom was either a spirit of excellence or the spirit of the Holy God was in him. Daniel served and prospered during the reign of these four kings. Daniel, when people are in trouble, they will come to such a person. If you are that kind of person, that people see the Spirit of the Holy God in, they will come to you. And if you are someone who served properly, and you will prosper, because that is what God says that will happen. If you serve in your employment properly, you'll be promoted, you will get good money, and you will have peace. Even though sometimes there will be trouble, somehow along the line, people will see the Spirit of the Holy God in you. Amen. You see, always sometimes I said I know myself more than anybody. And I'm just an ordinary guy. But I've seen good things in life. And I keep asking myself, how did that happen? And I have every reason to believe that the Spirit of the Holy God dwells in me. And somehow along the line, people see it. And it was not my brilliance. It was not my academic achievement. But it's the God that I have. Hallelujah. Daniel was consistent. When you read verse 28 of chapter 6, it says that, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian king. Stand up, people. Are persecuted. If you turn to your Bible with me from verse 4 through to 9, we read this. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or negligence or fault found in him. Then this man said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these governors and satrap thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps and the counselors and advisers have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or any man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, what decree? What I've just read is this. That Daniel, we have read that he has been promoted because of the Spirit of the living God upon him, because of his faithfulness, because of his hard work. But somehow along the line, some people also hate him for who he has been. And I just want to let you know that you will not be any different. That you can have the Spirit of the living God upon you. You can be the manager, chief executive, whatever it is. You can be the cleaner. Somehow along the line, somebody somewhere would not like you. And this time, not only the two other governors that he was supposed to serve with, who were colluding with this. All the 120 ministers of state colluded with them. And this time, not only that, they brought all the mayors of the cities among them. They brought all the chief counselors among them. And they decided that let us go and ask the king to make a decree, because we can't find anything wrong with Daniel. We can't find no fault with him. I wish they can say that about me. Can they say that about you? That we cannot find any fault about him. He was never negligent. There was no error in him. He was hardworking. He was faultless, as it were. But we can only fault him on the laws of his God. And how can they convince a king who loves Daniel? Because he came to invade that land after Belshazzar. And then he found Daniel and said, "You're going to be one of the three people who are going to rule my land. And I know and I've read that you're a very devoted person. You've served two mighty kings at the highest level, and I want you to serve me too." He didn't even know where Daniel comes from. You see, people don't have to know where you come from. People don't have to know your DNA. People don't have to know your social status before they promote you, if your heart is after God. Hallelujah. And that is what they did with Daniel. And these people came and said, "You know what? The king trusts him. But what we will do, that let's go and tell the king, you know what? You are going to be God for 30 days. 1 month, you are God." He loves that. He is God. Nobody is going to pray to anybody. If you have any prayer, you pray to that God. Supposing I call my brother Duane. Yes? Innocent man. You believe that, don't you? He's all right, guy. Now, I said, "Look, Duane, I know you're a good man, but for 1 month you are going to be God. Everybody is going to pray to you." And the thing went into the king's head. That is good, isn't it? Everybody is going to pray to me. Now I am God. You see, that is all gods are false gods, isn't it? They are the works of man. The king knows that he is not God, but because they said you are God for 1 month, thank God they didn't say for his life. It's only 1 month. And he took that opportunity. "I want to be God for 1 month. Everybody is going to pray to me." See how pride comes through? So what we want you to do is to sign a decree that anyone who prays or petition any other God apart from you, we put in the lion's den. "Oh, that sounds good to me. That sounds good to me." So he gave his hand and everybody kissed. So we talk about 500 people, everybody coming to kiss his hand and bow to him. "Oh, king, live forever. You're God for 30 days. I wonder what he was thinking after 30 days, what he would do. So then it was reported to him. You see, there's a writer who said this. I just read it somewhere. He said, "Envy always hates the excellency it can't reach." You see, the people were envious of Daniel. You see, people will be envying you when they know they can't reach you and bring you down and make you as a nobody. They will envy you. So, envy always hates the excellency it can't reach. If you do your work well, people will not like you. So when people are not liking you and you're a good person, don't mourn and say, "But I'm a good person, but everybody's hating me." That's what the Bible says. And that's what Daniel went through. He was an excellent ruler in Babylon and in Middle Persia. And yet, he was hated. And they wanted to kill him because of his God. Now, they put Daniel to the spot. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. There was no negligent behavior or attitude in him at all. The collaborators couldn't find anything or fault against Daniel, except concerning the law of his God. Brothers and sisters, if I have to say something about you, can I say that? That I can't find nothing against you apart from the laws of your God. That proposal that was given in the decree made Darius, or Darius as I'll call it, a god for 30 days. That pleased him. The gods that are rising against you, as in the case of Daniel, is only for a man. Hallelujah. You see, what God is trying to say in this writing, that the God that are rising against you is only for a man. That means it is only for a final period, right? Finite, a defined period. So if you're going through a problem today because you stand up for God and you stand up for your faith, I just want you to understand that this is not going to go on forever. Do you understand that? If you're under pressure today, I want you to understand that the word of God said it's not going to go on forever. If you are sick today, I want you to understand that that sickness is not going to go on forever. The Bible says so, and I want you to believe that. If you are depressed today, I want you to understand that this will not go on forever. If you feel neglected today, I want you to understand that this will not go on forever. If you are down and can't lift yourself up, I want you to understand that this will not go on forever. If you're a failure today in your own eyes, I want you to understand that this will not go on forever. Whatever your situation, you may be poor and struggling with your finances, your situation ought to change and to not go on forever. Amen. And that's what God is saying. That the gods that are rising up against you will only last for a month. The problems and the challenges you are going through will last for a season and not forever. You are not finished until God says it is over. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. You are not finished until God says it is over. But I want you to, the reason why I put that verse there, to come up to some that note, however, that sometimes God will not take you out of your exile, but will be there with you and work it out with you so that it will end well with you if you keep your resolve and remain faithful to your God. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes the problem will be thinking, oh God, if you don't mind, take this problem away from me. And you've been praying and praying and praying, and the problem is still there, not gone. Sometimes God will not take you out, but he'll be there with you. He'll provide someone who will come and help you out. He will send his angel to come and help you out. He will come and hold your hand out. He will comfort you. He will lift you up. You hear some word to inspire you. You hear a song to lift you up. You hear somebody come and probably give you money to cheer you up. Somehow along the line, you have some help. That's what God is saying. So this is a famous Bible verse that I'm sure all of you know by heart. And he said that in all things. And we know that in all things, God worked together for good to those who love the Lord. Those who are the called according to his purpose. You see, the caveat here is that you got to be in God's purpose. You got to be that place where God can see you. You got to be in that place that God can say, you know what? I know your name. I hear your voice every day. I hear your voice in the morning. I hear your voice in the afternoon. I hear your voice in the evening. Not on Facebook. God is not on Facebook in any case. I'm not saying Facebook is bad. I'm not saying WhatsApp is bad. I'm not saying any of the social media is bad. But that is not where God is. You understand that? A lot of people decide that that is where they're going to use to disciple people, and they themselves are totally indisciplined and undisciplable. Does that make sense? I mean, I'm in WhatsApp group, and every day the messages that come, and I'm thinking, are these people actually living that kind of life? That they pull in, some people pull 7, 8 at a time. And if you're not careful, you read and read and read until you go blue. And nothing affects their own life. Nothing is changing their own life. They are not connecting with God in any way, but they're happy to pull it out because they have the name Christian, because they live in Babylon, right? But they are not standing up like Daniel. You'll be persecuted. But according to God's purpose, so if you're on God's radar, you are praying in the morning, praying in the afternoon, meditating in the evening, and God is hearing your voice and you are hearing him, then you're on God's radar. That is when things we know that all things will work together for your good to those who love the Lord. That means it will work out well at the end of the day for you because you love the Lord. I think I know how to love a little bit, and I've come to understand if you love somebody, you want to hear the voice, right? Is that okay? Good. You want to be on the phone, you want to be wherever, and you want to hear the person's voice. If you love somebody, you wouldn't want to use WhatsApp all the time. You want to speak to the person, isn't it? Because hearing the voice is different. I'm not condemning these things. I'm just trying to draw a parallel how our communication is now all virtual instead of real. We're talking about our world. Our world should be a real world for us. And we have to stand up. Let me press on a little bit before I'm pushed for time. Stand-up people are persistent. Stand-up people are persistent. You can turn your Bible to Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 to 17, and I'll read that very quickly for you. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day. Did you hear that? 3 times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. And we are talking about a 22, 23-year-old man. And he went to Babylon when he was 17. Some people think it's earlier. Whatever it is, he was a very young man. And he was a prime minister, served 3 powerful kings. Now, should we press on from here? Right. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And I'm sure the king will be scratching his head. Oh, yeah, I forgot that I'm a god. Yes, it's true. They should petition me. I'm the god, right? That's what he'll be thinking. The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not change or alter. So what you've just said is true. According to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, you cannot change. This is what we call written law. Written law, you can't change. Even though in theory you can change, but that of the Medes and the distant, you cannot change. The only way you have to change a law of the Medes and the Persians is to pass another law. On top of that, to vary it. You see, we took some of our traditions of parliamentarian law making from these people. I'm telling you true history, you know. They existed before United Kingdom. Get it right. Some people think United Kingdom is the kingdom that ever existed, that came into the world before anybody was born. Not true. You understand that? Not the Western world. Not true. A kingdom existed in Egypt. A kingdom existed in Zimbabwe then. Even though it's not recorded in the Bible because, I mean, God did not go there, right? I'm provoking you guys. But I just want you to know that when the kingdom of Egypt existed, the kingdom of Zimbabwe existed. And then Babylon existed. Then it came back to Greece. Then it came back to Rome. And then we are here. Hey, I'm teaching you some history, you know. Follow me. Now let me press on a little bit here. Where was I? They assembled. The king answered, these things is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decrees that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. And the king said, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. He has passed a law that cannot be changed. Daniel has broken it. Daniel has not worshipped him as God. But the king loved Daniel. So, suddenly he just put his hand on his head and said, "Oh dear, what have I done? These guys have duped me." But he knows he's the king. If he rescinds his law, that means he's not God anymore. He will lose faith. You see, and because he didn't want to lose face in front of people, he had to go ahead with it. And then he spent the whole day looking. Is there any provision that we can vary this? Is there any way that we can change the law? Is there any way that I can rescind it? He didn't find any, the Bible tells us. So at the end of the day, he had to pull out his scepter, and his chief advisors around said, "Yes, O king, you said it." So they put Daniel in prison. And when Daniel was gone, you could see his heart for Daniel. So he said, "Daniel, I know that your king, that your God, the one that you serve," he was supposed to be God, right? I said, "Your God, the one that you serve," he's forgotten that he's still God for 30 days. "Your God, the one that you serve, would deliver you." So he was even praying, wasn't he? Who is he praying to? And he's supposed to be God. "So we'll deliver you." And the Bible says that in the evening, the guy could not even eat. In some translations, it said he was fasting. The pagan God was fasting. And the Christian people are not fasting. Hear this. How do we square this out? This is a challenge for the pagan God. Was pagan God or pagan king was fasting. And the Bible said even when they brought music to play, some soothing song for him to enjoy it, he said, "No, today no music for me. Today no music for me." So he was even teaching us some principles of fasting, right? You fast, you don't want all your jazz music anymore. You don't want all your pleasant stuff anymore. The Bible said they brought food before him and said, "Today is not for eating time." He paced up and down. The Bible says even sleep fled from him. Sleep fled from him. Literally, right? He wanted to sleep and he couldn't sleep. And he waited at the very first dawn of light. He saddled his chariot and ran to the place and said, "Daniel, has your God, whom you serve faithfully, delivered you out of the paws or the mouth of the lions?" And guess what Daniel said? "Oh, king, live forever. I'm here." Hey, that is fun, isn't it? I would love to be there. "Oh, king, live forever." Now, what are we trying to say here? Daniel prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom in the early days. So you can see that Daniel has not just learned to pray on a Sunday. It was his custom. He has not just learned to pray because he was going to rush to get a tube, and the tube, he just missed it and was praying that the next one comes very quickly. He just was praying from his early days. So at the age of 14, probably even 17, he was praying. And all this while in that land, he was praying as a custom. That is his way of life. He prayed three times. He prayed in the morning, sat and listened to God. He prayed in the afternoon, sat and listened to God. He prayed in the evening, sat and listened to God. We taught you this not too long ago. Sometimes people say, "Oh, we, this church, we only do series. We do good stuff. In Jesus' name. We do biblical stuff. We equip you with proper knowledge instead of sitting down for another pastor to tell you all sort of things that you jump, hallelujah, hallelujah, you go home." I'm thinking, what was I shouting for? And you feel so alone. It worked for the pastor, but it doesn't work for you. He's smart. He's praying, but you're not. So, here we are. He prayed and prayed and prayed as a custom. The systems and the pressure will encircle you and seek to devour you. But will you be a Daniel and still put your faith in this God? Amen? Amen. The decree was that no one should pray. But Daniel prayed and prayed. The systems and society will shut you in and pray and only cause you to pray and focus on the problem and not on your God. Sometimes, how many times have we come to the point where you and me are in so much trouble, but our focus is more on the trouble than upon our God who can save us? Have you come to that point before? A few times I've encountered problems, and I can assure you I have a God, but the problems just is what I put my eyes on. And when as long as I put my eyes on the problem, I don't see my God. And that's what the system of Babylon was designed to, so that you will focus on it. And the system today, as we have it, whenever there's a problem, our system tells that there's a solution, and that solution is in the hands of man. But we have a God who transcends every man, who transcends every wisdom, who transcends every intelligence, who wants us to go to him for help. So when the system encircles us, your God, whom you serve, will continually deliver you, as Daniel said. Daniel stood up with courage and conviction and dealt with issues as they came. Dr. David Jeremiah will say this, that Daniel was faithful, persistent in what he did. He was consistent, courageous in faith, and stood up. For to stand down is cowardice. To stand aside is compromise. To stand against is contention, as in confrontation. But God wants us to stand up with courage and conviction in our God, who is able to help us out in a situation. Let me push through to pick this last but one point, and that will help us. Stand up, people are protected. If you stand up before God, you'll be protected. And that is what he says. Now the king went, verse 18, now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musician was brought before him, and also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose early in the morning, and but I've told that story, so let me read on from verse 21. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Hallelujah. He said, I haven't done you any wrong. I haven't done nobody no wrong. And therefore, when I got persecuted and I am under a lot of pressure, my God came and saved me. Hallelujah. My God came and saved me. God's man or woman in the center of God's will is immortal until God is finished with him or her. Can I repeat that? God's man or woman in the center of God's will is immortal until God is finished with him or finished with her. God will always shut the mouth of the lions for you. As you're sitting right now, there may be something that is trying to eat you up. There may be some people who just don't like you for no reason. They don't even know you. You haven't done them no wrong. They just don't like you or want to make life difficult for you. But God says that you are immortal. That means he will not allow them. He will not allow the lions to eat you up. See, the lions wanted to eat, but couldn't eat. The king could eat, but he wouldn't eat. It was a unique day in Persia, wasn't it? Right? So somehow along the line, everything God has stopped it just because of Daniel. And that is what I want you to understand, that God can stop everything around you because of who you are, because of your faith in God, because of your trust in God, because of your belief in God, because of your unshakable resolve to stand for God and stand with God and believe in his name and trust him to deliver you out of it. God is prepared to do that because his name is on the line. Remember what the king said? God, your Daniel, your God, whom you serve, will deliver you. They've put God's name on the line. So God will make sure that his name is glorified and his name is not denigrated. Imagine Daniel died. Then what God was he serving? The king didn't even know that it was possible for God to save him. But said, the God whom you serve, I know he's going to save you. So when God shut the mouth of the lions, then the king knew that now there is no God but this God. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, we have to live and expect God and ask God to give us miracles so that people around us will see and bless the holy name of God. Hallelujah. You see, miracles are incidental to the gospel of Christ. So that means when you give your life to Jesus Christ and you want to follow him duly, the miracles are incidental. They're supposed to accompany those who believe. Amen? So somehow along that we have to live in miracles. Expect them as a normal occurrence for believers of the Holy God. People who have the Holy God in them. Stand-up people are protected. God intervene on man's behalf if with all our heart we trust him. You will face all manner of difficulties, yet if we believe in our God, he will intervene at every situation. We see the stand-up people are protected, and how are they protected? They are protected from the law. That's verse 13 to 15. The king passed the law, and he was protected. We are protected from lions, the thing that is ready to eat you up and poison you and destroy you and cause your death, be it physically, social, psychologically, emotionally, or mentally, or spiritually. You are protected from it because you are a stand-up guy. You are protected by the Lord himself, because the Bible said, Daniel said, God sent his angel and he came to shut the mouth of the lions. Remember some time ago when we started this year, we were talking about ministry angels? That everybody has a ministry angel. God has told you that I've put something, someone beside, like a bodyguard. And like a guided tour, I mean a tour guide, to guide you in life. And therefore, when you need them, call on them. Yes? Amen. We taught you these things, guys. Yes or no?
Yes.
Exactly. A few people know, the rest they don't. But that's okay. This is true. We have a ministry angel that will follow us, and we have to call on them and send them to work on our behalf. I believe we teach you good stuff in this church, you know. Don't let nobody fool you that this is not a good church. It's a good, good church. Amen. Say amen to that if you believe it.
Amen.
Did I hear amen from you, my brother? Amen. Amen. That is absolutely true. Don't let nobody fool you. So, when man thinks he can shut out and shut up the faithful of God, let him think again. Just like, I just quoted that, I picked that from the video that came on earlier on. Just like you and I, when we are thrown to the lions, then God is the one who will shut the mouth of the lions. It is God who can tame the most hateful enemies in our lives, even in the lions then. So if you see an epilogue, it means summing up. You see, the Bible tells us that God will take care of us and he will always be there for us. So for that reason, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Yeah, keep praying, Teddy. You will soon be on holidays and God will be with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God said, I will always be with you. Go to all nations and make disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. You see, churches in our country are closing down. And there are some right near our doorsteps are closing down. In Europe, they are closing down. You go and they stand there, very beautiful churches, but there's no human being in it. It's only a tourist attraction. Once upon a time, they were packed. Once upon a time, this church was packed. I've read over several years, and I've recently read again, even an architect gave us this information. He said in this church, not too long ago, from one Sunday to another Sunday, there were 40 meetings going on. From one Sunday to another, 40 meetings going on in this church. I have read in this church the annals of our recordings in my office that once upon a time in this church, on a Sunday school Bible study before the service start, over 1,000 people attended. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This does not even include children. Praise God. I have read in this church that once upon a time, the Spirit of God was here so powerfully that people come in and they keep falling. South Street Baptist Church. I have read in this church that people, once upon a time, the Spirit of God came so mighty they were speaking in tongues and prophesying. South Street Baptist Church. Hallelujah. You see, I have read that once upon a time people had to pay for their seats, otherwise they would have no seat to sit on. South Street Baptist Church. The same God of this church that you and me stand in today is the God that we worship today. So you look around and ask you, where is that God? The same God is around. So are you going to pray? Are you going to take the bull by the horn and say, I am not going to accept our present situation. I am not going to listen to no negative stuff. I am not going to listen to no condemnatory stuff. Anyone curse me, I'll reverse it on them and they will be hurt. Because when these people threw Daniel in the lion's den, what happened? The Bible said that when Daniel came out, the others were thrown back in. And when they were thrown back in, not only just them, their wives and their children. So the person who's going to curse you is not just only him, the wife and the children. If the other way, reverse around. And they are, the Bible said, when they threw them in, before they even hit the ground, the lions, they just ate them. They ate them before they hit the bottom of the ground. Please go and read it. I'm not making them up. They ate them. So, brothers and sisters, do not sit down. You got to be a stand-up person. You got to stand up for your faith. You got to stand up for Christ. And you got to stand up and be tall and make sure that the lions will not devour you, but the lions will devour your enemies. And that is the way it goes. Hallelujah. The lions will devour your problems. The lions will devour the things that work against you. And that is what it is. So what is the challenge? What kind of lion are you facing right now? What kind of lion want to devour you? The God who saved Daniel is the same God who saves today. Will you stand up for the gospel of Christ? The most important thing that you can ever do in your life is to stand up for your destiny. And today I'm going to challenge you. Will you stand up for Christ as your Savior today? So where are you today? Are you for God or not? Shall we stand on your feet if you're able to? You can stand up for your destiny when you are here today. You can never stand up for your destiny when you are down and out. Daniel stood up for his destiny. So today, are you going to stand up for Jesus Christ? So ask yourself, where are you in your relationship with God? Today, I want to challenge you. I'm minded to tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, you definitely don't belong to God. And the end of such people was demonstrated. They were eaten by the lions. You will not be literally eaten by a lion, but your destiny will be eternal condemnation and death. Today, if you are not standing up for God and being like a Daniel and recommitting your life to God, you are destining your future to destruction. What will you do? I want to give you a chance to pray for yourself. Speak to God. Tell God what you have heard today, what you want Him to do, and what you want God to do in your life. Can you pray right now? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise. Keep praying. And as you are praying, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Lord and Savior,